We're going to hear several voices on this story in this part of the program, starting with Peter Galbraith. He is familiar to many NPR listeners because of his extensive work in Iraq, but he was also a personal friend of Benazir Bhutto. Mr. Galbraith, welcome to the program.
Well, good to be with you, but sorry to be talking about these events.
When did you last speak with Benazir Bhutto, sir?
A few weeks ago, and she was worried about the violence in her country. And she wanted help in getting some kind of device to detect improvised explosive devices because she felt, and she wanted it from abroad. Actually, she was looking to see if the Iraqis might be able to help because she didn't have any confidence in General Musharraf's security services.
She thought Iraqis could help secure her?
Well, she thought that they had the technology to be able to detect roadside bombs.
Hmm. Now, I want to learn a little bit about her background. She's been in and out of prison. And in fact, in her autobiography, she says that you were the person who helped secure her freedom in 1984 after she went to prison. Why was she in prison then?
Well, she was in prison because she opposed the dictatorship of General Zia-ul-Haq, who had overthrown and executed her father. He then put Benazir and her mother in jail. Her mother was in relatively comfortable confinement, but he kept Benazir in for a full year in a Class C cell in Sukkur in the desert in Pakistan. This was the lowest category of prison. Altogether, in the 11 years of the Zia dictatorship, she spent five of them in prison.
Hmm. NPR's Philip Reeves has been listening in, Ambassador Galbraith, and I want to go to him because he's got a question for you.
Ambassador, I wonder what Pakistanis will make of the fact that she was subjected to two terrible attacks. One has killed her, obviously, but the one also in October when she arrived and spent a long time at night going through one of the most unstable cities on the planet, and later said she was concerned about the fact that the security forces hadn't protected her sufficiently. She, if you recall, talked about the fact that the streetlights mysteriously went off in Karachi as she was processing through that city surrounded by an enormous crowd. And of course, there seemed to be some similarities in the sense that there was a suggestion that there were shots fired then on her convoy and then a bomb, and that in early reports today suggest similar things. A similar thing happened in Rawalpindi. The point I'm trying to get at really is whether people will feel that there was a degree of recklessness in going into a crowd in South Asia where no matter how much security you may or may not have, extremely hard to provide any realistic security for a political figure as well known as she is. Was.
Well, I think the conclusion that many in Pakistan will draw, rightly or wrongly, is that, in fact, the regime of General Musharraf did not wish to protect her. The streetlights were out in Karachi at the time of that attack. For Benazir, I think this was a terrible dilemma. Of course, there was the concern for her own safety, but for the safety of the people who supported her. And yet, she had extraordinary following and attraction that very few politicians, if any, in the world today enjoy. I mean, she could bring out hundreds of thousands of people who were devoted to her. And she didn't feel that she could deny them the chance to connect with her. I've been, in the last hour since I got this what terrible news, we've been friends since she was 16 and I was 18, but about her life. And I think she entitled her autobiography The Daughter of Destiny, and I think she felt that Pakistan and the struggle for democracy was her destiny, and she knew the risks. So just before she left Dubai to return to Pakistan in October, the same day as that suicide attack, she sent me a message on her BlackBerry that was really a farewell message. It was, thank you for your friendship and all the help over the years. And she sent similar messages to two or three other friends. So she was aware of what she was up against. Yet she felt she really had no choice but to go forward.
Philip Reeves, Ambassador Galbraith just referred to her extraordinary popularity and the way she could draw out huge crowds, which was certainly true at certain points in her life. Was it true at the end of her life?
Well, she remained extremely popular and powerful in Sindh and also in southern Punjab. Of that, there's no doubt, and we saw evidence of that on her return to Pakistan in the city of Karachi, where there were several hundred thousand party supporters on the streets. Polls, political polls, for what they're worth in Pakistan, however, suggested that she wasn't in the larger body of the country particularly popular, true, more popular than President Musharraf, but there were many people with misgivings, particularly about the corruption allegations that swirled around her and that were associated with her time, two terms as Prime Minister of Pakistan. And so she didn't have, on her second return to Pakistan, she didn't generate anything like the euphoria that we saw in 1986 when she came into Lahore and there was a massive and euphoric welcome and she went on to become the first woman prime minister in the Muslim world. She was impacted by the scandals that surrounded her time in power. Having said that, let's not underestimate the strength of her political base in Sindh in particular.
Ambassador Galbraith, in just 20 seconds or so, does this woman leave a lasting legacy as prime minister and as opposition leader?
Yes. Her greatest achievement was actually becoming prime minister. That was the culmination of 11-year struggle against the Zia dictatorship. She did restore democracy in Pakistan. Her time and her two terms in, as prime minister didn't accomplish very much. Partly it was her fault, but also the powers that be in Pakistan, particularly the military, were determined she couldn't accomplish anything.
Ambassador Peter Galbraith, thanks very much.
Well, good talking to you.
And NPR's Philip Reeves is continuing to cover this story as well, and we'll be hearing from him throughout the day, no doubt. Philip, thanks very much to you. And again, the news from Pakistan is that former Pakistani Prime Minister and opposition leader Benazir Bhutto has been killed after a campaign rally. There was an explosion. There were gunshots. At least 20 people are said to be killed. And we'll bring you more as we learn more.